Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Nightpan Studios. Ryan Sickler here, RyanSickler.com, and Ryan Sickler on all your social media. Thank you guys for supporting this show. Thank you for supporting anything I do, all right? I love doing this. I love my job. If you're watching this already, put a like, put a comment. Help that algorithm in there, all right? And if you got to have more, you got to have the Patreon. It's called The Honeydew with Y'all. It's this show with y'all, and y'all have the craziest stories. If you're even considering it, check out the best of episodes that we give away free here on the YouTube, all right? It's $5 a month. That's it. It's been like that for years. And if you or someone you know has a story that has to be heard, please submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com, all right? That is the biz. You guys know what we're doing here. We highlight the lowlights, and I always say that these are the stories behind the storytellers. I am very excited to have this guest here. First time on The Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Zhao Ying Summers. Welcome to
What's
The Honeydew.
Up? Hey, thank you for having me, Ryan.
Thank you for being here.
I am on The Honeydew. I'm going to be a cocky bitch after this. I'll verbally abuse my maid. I'll send my lunch back. I want extra avocado.
Before we get into your story, first of all, I've been wanting to have you on here for a while. I love your energy. I'm a fan. Before we get into your story, though, please promote everything you'd like.
Yes, I am on tour. I'm on the road every weekend. I don't take any day off, no Christmas, no Thanksgiving, because, you know, they don't mean anything to me. I don't see color, I see cash. So come to see me. SummersComedy.com or JiaoYingComedy.com. If you have yellow fever, you can spell that shit. It's just SummersComedy.com. And I have a podcast, The Tiger Mom Pod. Would love to have Ryan on it. And I have 2 books in the work, my autobiography and a children's book. It's a bilingual children's book about the 12 zodiac. Signs that they are just the little kid who are dumb and learning how to survive, which is important. What else? I have 2 specials. One is releasing this year, but I can't say anything because they made me sign things. But my second special is going to be very exciting because I will be producing it myself, and I want to make sure all the jokes that is too much for people or network cannot be cut. So I'm keeping everything I have there will be my origin story. But other than that, I am so happy to be here. We're going to have fun time. You're going to know my dark secrets.
I want to hear them all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Start from the beginning. You're born where and when? If you don't mind, when?
Yeah. It's okay. I'm an Asian woman. Yeah, I don't really age until I age.
You know what's so funny about you Asian ladies? Like, I have been tricked before where I'm driving and I'll see this lady from behind, jet black hair, and I'm like, that's attractive looking lady. And then I get in front of her. I'm like, that's an 86-year-old Asian woman right there. And I'm like, how in the hell are you holding it together?
That's Vera Wang. That's not Vera Wang. It's Vera Wang. We're like, this is... Yeah. I feel sick to my stomach for trying to, you know, have an erection looking at the back. That's, you know, sexy back. Don't come. Don't look back. Asian woman will age weird. Either we're a schoolgirl or Yoda. You know, that you don't know.
Yoda.
Like, you really don't know which day is.
Yeah, like you're schoolgirl till you're 70 and then all of a sudden you're just Yoda.
Yeah, it really go. When we go, we really go. But then we don't go for a long time. We hold on to the look until one day it's like, I don't give a fuck anymore. Yeah, it's interesting.
Okay, so when were you born?
I was born in the 1990s. Okay. And in a very small village in China, in the north part. And, you know, we had a one-child policy, which means all the families can only have one child. And they really want that child to be a boy. Because Chinese people are very conservative and traditional. They want to have a son to carry on the family oppression.
Even as late as the 90s, when did that stop? What year did that
stop? It stopped in the late 90s. Now, actually, Chinese government would encourage a couple to have more children because of the one-child policy. It caused a severe gender imbalance. There's extremely more number of men than women.
Is that right?
And it makes it challenging for women, for men with lower income to find a wife. Because ugly bitches be like picking, like, I got a pussy. What do you have? You want to marry me? You buy my fat brother a house and you got my ugly sister a car. And that's how you can get my short ass. You know, like they got so cocky because, like, you know.
I see.
It's a numbers
game.
Yeah, it's an ugly bitch in prison, you know, in a male's prison. She is Halle Berry, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just, I mean, it's sad, but the you know, people don't want to have kids anymore.
So you're only allowed one kid.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a girl.
Then you just have a girl.
You have a girl.
Or, you know, nobody knows that you have a girl.
And why?
You just send that girl away. You just sell the girl or give it to people who don't have kids at all.
I sound naive and stuff, but that's legit. That's black market selling babies in the 90s.
I feel like for family who has morals, that they normally would make arrangement for their daughter. For like a wealthier family, not really adoption. They would send their daughter to their relatives to live over there and financially supported the kid. And until the baby's like, let's say, 7-8 years old, you know, the government's like, okay, they never had a daughter. They only have one son. And then you bring the daughter back, be like, oh, I'm adopting someone. Actually, your own child. That's for people who have a soul. And then for poor people I'm not saying poor people who don't have a soul. You can't afford a soul when you're poor. You know, like I do whatever it takes to get my green card. You know, you do what you got to do. Like, I support people who have to struggle, and then they would get the kid for adoption, and people would pay for the fee. Obviously, since you're selling it, but or like you don't have time, you throw the baby in the trash. You know, someone is gonna pick it. Jeffrey Epstein is there. You know, he's gonna grab the cute ones. He didn't take me. I wasn't pretty.
Shut up.
I could have a better future, you know. I could have, you know, one can dream, but it's okay.
So you're born to, are your parents married and together at the time and everything?
Married and together. I have a very handsome father. He's an alcoholic. My mother is very ambitious. She's a beautiful lady. She's very ambitious and hardworking, and she's kind of beyond her time. So
what do they do for a living?
They were like, they start with the, we have a lumber business. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are both farmers, but my mother is just very entrepreneurial. Her brother's done well with construction, but because she was a girl, they didn't want to include her in the company, which was a mistake because she is the one with the brain.
I was going to say, yeah, man, what a mistake.
Yeah, it's a huge mistake. They were doing very well, but they didn't never want her involved. They don't want me involved. But now they are bankrupt because the next generation of kids, they're playing video games. The boys are so spoiled, you know, they don't really learn the respect, earn the respect. And then we do everything, nobody respect us. But anyways, so my mother started the lumber business. She would import the lumber from the North Manchuria, like Northeast China.
What year?
That was in the 90s.
Damn, like, your mom's a boss, huh?
Yeah, she and my father would go before he was drunk. Mm-hmm. He wasn't drunk until she started a restaurant, so it's her fucking fault. There's a bar.
Oh, you know? He like, would drink at the restaurant?
Yeah, it's her fault. Like, why would you keep your man around the bar? You know, she's a lazy whore. I don't believe my father. My mother is... She should take better care of him, you know?
Yeah.
You get him massage.
Are they together?
Yes, they are still together for, I don't know, because in China, you don't get divorced.
I interrupted. You said you get him a massage. What were you about to say?
You know, you get, send him, you know, the you know, masseuse lady and give him some happy ending, give him a book and just don't let him work by the bar. It's not his fault. So, I mean, like, it's her fault. You know, my father was a handsome, beautiful man who is a math genius. And the next thing you know, he's an alcoholic because the lumber business does well. They both go there. And my father would, he's a math genius. He would calculate everything with his eye to measure the lumber size, how much money it cost.
He's like that, huh?
Yeah. But until he started to drink. Because of it's her fault. She saw a hotel that's out of business on the highway and she hustled money, tried to take over and try to make more money, which she did. She used the lumber money and she got that place and she revamped it. And there's a bar, a karaoke bar. My father started to then she wanted to open another restaurant in the city. My father was left there to watch it and he was surrounded by 17-year-old whores and alcohol, you know? I mean, if he didn't drink, I would think he's stupid. Just, you know, that's what really ruined him is my mother.
Is he still drinking? Is he still?
He has been drinking since I can remember. And he's never been sober, not really sober. And, you know, obviously in China, like, your dad slap you because, you know, you're being annoying. Like, he all hit me, but, like, I'm not going to be a victim about it. It's, that's how we grow up. We grew up like American men grow up in the 60s. You know, like, mm-hmm. If father don't hit you, does he care about you? No, he doesn't because you have no potential. Like, the dumb ones, you know, they live alone. Like, they think you have potential. That's why they hate you. Mm-hmm. So be grateful. But I think around 3 years ago, he became sober. My father.
Is that right? Okay.
Yes. Apparently, he had this like high school reunion thing, and I somehow got famous in China, whatever. And my people were like, "Oh my god, do you know this girl?" My father's like, "Oh, that's my daughter." They're like, "No, you're drunk. There's no way she's your daughter. Like, are you kidding me?" And he felt that he wasn't there when I was growing up, and he just wanted to make sure he didn't bring shame to me anymore, so he stopped drinking.
Are you still close at all?
Yes.
Oh, you are.
2 weeks
good.
Ago, I went, I financially supported my father. He because he just never worked. When he was young, his parents take care of him. You know, he was cute and he was smart. And then my mother is a full-blown workaholic. And whenever he does something wrong, she will scream at him and he doesn't do anything. So he's lazy. So now he's too old to work. He's not too old. He's only 55. But because he's such a moron, like if he worked for anyone, people just like, "Hey, you stupid bitch." I don't want him to hear that. Mm-hmm. I don't want him to really live. Have to go through the... So I financially support him. It doesn't take much. He's a vegan. He makes his own food. We have a garden. He's not a spender. He didn't gamble. He's like... It's not... It take me at like
he's low maintenance.
Low maintenance. Yeah, he's like a rat, you know, just he's fine.
So talk to me about growing up as a girl who's not really even wanted by your own country or anything. You know, what's that like? Does it make you be the type A you are? Is it basically you have two choices? You either fucking go like you and your mom or you're just back there doing nothing?
Yeah, I think it definitely... made me who I am. Other than a lot of girls were born in the 90s and were discarded or were not wanted and still lived. But they, not everyone is like me, because they kind of have self-respect. They resent the bad thing happened to them. But I don't. I never felt like a victim. I felt that that's how life is. You know, it was my fault I didn't have a penis. If I had one, you know.
You really believe
that? They
would
want me, yeah. They would want me. So I'm a girl, but I just need to make the most out of it. It's just to accept that men are going to have more opportunities. Once you accept it, you can change it. If you don't accept it, you're always going to be a little bitch victim. Be like, well, I know. I would choose a man to be my security guy over a woman if I don't know the woman well. If the woman is like a million times better than the man, I'll hire the woman. I mean, I'm a woman and I still think that way. Mm-hmm. Maybe for me to change it is for me to make it so I can talk about it rather than being a little bitch about it.
That's what I wanted to say. You mm-hmm. said once you accept it, you can change it. Tell me how you did that for yourself.
I think is basically push myself to become the best I can in every shape or form to become the best I can in school. You know, I want to make sure that I can be valuable. I can be the best I can, because I'm lucky to go to school. I want to be the best. I always loved learning, and I think that's the thing. And I knew I wasn't wanted, and they kept telling me, you know, like when I don't get A plus, my mom would throw a dictionary on my forehead, be like,
"Is that right?"
Yeah.
That's your punishment for not getting an A?
Yeah, it's hard to cover Oxford Dictionary. You know, there's like, you would bleed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Mom, I'm bleeding." She goes, "You're welcome. I opened your third eye." And she'd be like, "You're welcome." Whenever like, she hit me, she'd be like, "You're welcome." Yeah, she'd be like, "You're welcome." Yeah, she, I mean, I know she loves me. I mean, she wouldn't hit me if she didn't care.
Mm-hmm,
you have to care to hit, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, I would feel bad I did not get A plus, and I would get it next time rather than be like, "I hate you for being an evil bitch." I would just be like, because she tell me her childhood that she's not allowed to eat. There's not enough food, you know, and her brothers are working, which means they have to eat to take a bike to go to the construction site. And she's a girl at home, you know, she can starve because she won't need to go to work. So she's been starving when she was growing up. So I got to go to school. Why would I bitch about not being good enough? You know, I want to be as good as I can. And I also want to be a pretty girl. I mean, every girl wants to be a pretty girl. It's just who we are, what we are. And I realized that in Chinese beauty standard, I wasn't attractive because of we like small lips, light skin color, and like don't like a big chicken jaw because that's like manly looking. So they call me cage fighter when I was growing up.
No.
Yeah. Like
that's like elementary school kids?
Yeah, cage fighter.
That's fucking
like
cold.
They asked me to go back to Africa. I'm like, I wish I can to go there. There's diamonds there. But like, how do I get there? But it's just the people, our kids are very mean to me because I always, because in China, like ugly girls should know they're ugly and behave accordingly. But I wasn't pretty in China, but I act like a hot girl. I'm like popular, like talk to boys and just like people are like, "What's wrong with you? You're gross." Because in Asian culture, we like women. For a woman to be attractive, you have to be humble. You have to be sweet and kind and considerate and quieter. You know, that's attractive. If you are loud and self-confident, being confident is considered cocky. And being arrogant is one of the most disgusting characters of a woman. It's like when a woman is arrogant, it's like, eh, it's a big turnoff. And I somehow have this unhinged confidence about me that was very unattractive.
Where does it come from?
I think I'm born this way. Mm-hmm. Like just like someone's born to suck dick, you know, like they didn't choose to suck dick. Every kid was sucking a lollipop, you know, but eventually, you know, this boy just only want dick. It's not his fault.
He found his calling. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's wired though.
I was born.
What can I say, man?
I
love the chuggum. You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
I was
what,
born.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
I just want attention. I want attention. I wanted to make people happy. I'm a people pleaser.
People pleaser. I know.
But I also wanted to make people happy.
Are the women in your family, aunts, you know, mom, sisters, anything, are they all type A like you and your mom? Are they like that?
My mother is triple A. I'm AA since I'm alcoholic, like my father. my daughter is definitely triple A personality.
She is, huh?
She's tiny but mighty. And my sister is type A as well because she married her high school sweetheart who is, if you marry your high school thing, it's like a cult. You know, her man listened to her. Like, he's listened to her. Whatever she does, he listened to her.
Wait, you said sister. So how does my that younger come sister. To be?
Oh, my mother, she didn't give a fuck. The thing about
she didn't care.
She goes, I don't want it. It's a funny thing. People like normal people who has self-respect and responsibilities who are normal humans. The thing is the punishment is not just you. If you have a daughter and you still want to have a second baby, there is a fine. The fine is as much as the house you own, and you and your husband both got fired. And in some cases, they would fire your relatives. Like, imagine, because you wanted to have two kids, your sister has to lose her job, her husband has to lose their job, your parents have to lose their job. You would start to think, you know what, maybe I should not be in that selfish asshole. Maybe, you know, I don't have to be so into little boys like Michael Jackson. You know, I need girls are okay too, right?
Thank you for saying it.
You know, people be just like, okay, I'll be okay. I'll live. I have a daughter. It's fine. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe she'll be a lesbian. She'll be on top.
So she and your dad had another child.
Oh, yeah. They wanted to.
Same man.
They had me.
Okay.
And they paid the fine.
How much was the fine? Do you know?
I would say.
In American dollars, would you say six figures? Is it crazy?
I mean, in China, because for example, a house in China in a village is probably like 10 grand, right? Like, okay. Imagine like your whole house. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, in America, in LA, like $1 million, $2 million.
Yeah, right.
But and your job as well.
And your job, the ability to afford that place
exactly.
goes away.
So my mom's like, okay, take the house. My daughter's ugly, but because my father dropped me when he was taking me out, he dropped me and I started to cry and my head hit the concrete floor. She goes, she's a keeper. Like, she cried loud. She's like, you know, I'm not leaving. So my mom's like, I'm keeping her. She's ugly, but she's a fighter. You know, there's something about this girl. So she kept me and she paid for me. It sounds like she's like, okay, take the house, take my job. So she got fired. She had a good job. She got fired. And her sister was also going to get fired. So my mom's like, don't worry. I'm going to, she took me to the cornfield. She carried me.
What do you mean?
Because like once you are hiding a baby, you know.
So
even
wait,
though,
where do they have you then?
At home.
You're number two?
Number one.
You're number one first, and then your sister comes after.
Yes.
Okay. But why do they have you? Because you're a girl? That's what they're hiding? The fact you're not a boy?
No, they're hiding.
Why at home?
They're hiding that I never existed.
So they could have another
second one.
Oh,
so but people would report you, right? Because people
get. I was going to say, but how do you become a person though without documentation? How do you become a human
later,
on paper?
Later years, you know, after she paid the fine and everything, later years they were able to have me registered. But my mama don't really know my birthday. She lied to me about my birthday. I just found out when I was 25. I realized I've been having the wrong birthday for 20 years. I'm serious. When I was 20,
what did you think your birthday was?
I saw my birthday is December 20. January. No, my Lunar New Year is December 26th. My birthday on my ID is January 18th. That's what my birthday
what
is.
What is it really?
It's actually January 21st.
3 days later.
Yeah, the whole time. That's the date.
How'd she figure it out finally?
I think I was Googling, you know, the lunar calendar calculated into the, you know, normal calendar. Mm-hmm. It says January 21st. That's the first time I saw it. I'm like, well, I know my lunar calendar is the right day. So I asked my mother, why is on my ID is 18? She goes, oh, who cares? I said, wait, do you know that's different? I go, yeah, actually, I know it's not the right number. January 18th is what I wrote. Your birthday is January 21st. I said, why would you write 18th? She goes, you know, 8 means a lot of money in Chinese. Yeah, 8 means money and 6 means lucky. 1 is going to. So January 18th means you're going to be lucky. And 21st is like nothing, means nothing. And you're ugly. I want you to get lucky and have money. That's why I gave you the 8. You're welcome. Like she told me, you're welcome
again.
You're
always welcome.
Yeah, yeah. Like, thank you, mom. She goes, it's okay. I do everything for you. Everything I do it for you. And she say, everything I do it for you. I said, oh, thank you, mom. So that's when I found
out. So you're born at home in the house.
Yeah.
And how? How do they do that there?
We had a midwife that she paid to bribe her to,
And then you mentioned carrying you to the cornfield.
That was in the summer, in the fall, because they would have unexpected search. Like,
is that right?
Yeah. Why do you have two kids? You know, who is
they would do searches as well for this.
Yeah.
Damn.
And she would carry me right into the cornfield. And she realized that she has to figure something out. She just had to pay the fines and pay more money and bribe more people in order to keep me fine. So she ended up trying to expand her business into the hotels.
Nice.
And so she can make more money. And that's what I realized, that because she was able to leave the village and make more money, she was able to keep me and give me the best education and send me to America. And I just realized that because I was raised by her, I know by example, a woman can do whatever the fuck she wants, mm-hmm. as long as you're willing to work hard. And that, you know, you just have to be like, okay, I'm a peasant. That's who I am. And I can have anything I want. If you want to be a princess, you have to suck that old dick. You know, you got to put up with it. You can't complain.
Old dick.
Right? Like, you have to eat that beef jerky. You know, you pick and choose, you know?
Yeah.
Are you a princess or a peasant?
Yeah.
Princesses, they can't work. Their hands are for diamonds. Like, I clean dishes. I was like very young, and I've been washing dishes in our restaurants and clean the bathroom. And I started
for your mom,
for my mom's restaurant, and it's the most invaluable experiences of my life. Is be useful, you know, like when you are useful, things life is easy for you. When you are useless, you complain. You're like, why I don't have this? Because you're a lazy bitch, you know. Why people don't like me? Because you're a fat lazy bitch, you know. Just spend the money on your face, you know. Do something. People just like, but why? There's no why, you know. Men are superficial. What can I say? You just have to know your enemies in order to conquer them. You know, that's Confucius. You know, you have to know your enemies. Keep them close. You can, because that's why I love your comedy, is because you are so real. You're like, this is it. You know, I'm not going to make it cute and easy for you guys. It's just, that's how life is. That's why, you know, I just feel like I really get your comedy and get your story. It's just that because when it's real, people understand it. We are not lecturing anyone. It's just what it is, rather than be like, I'm lazy, but, you know, I don't want to work, but like, how do I get the royal treatment? No, you won't. You're a peasant like me. So you're going to, that's your life, you know?
Mm-hmm. So you're good in school, you're excelling, whatever. Do you play sports or anything
like
that?
Yes, I played volleyball, but then they fired me for being short because I didn't grow taller. I didn't become a giraffe pussy. They asked for, but it's not my fault. Yeah, sometimes you need a short buses, you know, but anyway, they fired me. I was good. But
you were?
Yeah, but they think I wasn't tall enough, but it's fine.
So when do you come to America?
I came to America when I was 18 years old.
Now, can I ask you this? I heard you say my mom wanted to send me to America. Was that always a goal?
No, she never wanted me to go to America. She wanted me to stay in China because I was very good in school and I can get in Peking University, which is like the Harvard of China for Chinese literature. And she wanted me to become a professor.
Okay.
Which I'd always loved literature. I loved writing. My grandpa is a scholar.
Well, you have a children's book.
Yes, I'm writing. I want to be a performer. The only reason I'm writing is because I was ugly to perform. But, you know, I just feel like in America, it's so diverse. And I watch Halle Berry, I watch Salma Hayek, all of those ladies with dark skin. They are so beautiful, so stunning. But what's wrong with me? Like, why can't I be dark? You know, maybe it's not my problem. Maybe I just need to see the world. Mm-hmm. On a bigger stage, that's a beauty that's more diverse. And that's also one mission I have, is to help women who don't feel beautiful because they are not the norm to understand that you are your own universe, you know? Like, if you don't feel, you have to be the hottest bitch ever because the world exists because of you. You know, if you don't, you feel ugly, why, you know, why would we do that? Fuck everyone. There's, in Chinese, we say, 情人眼里出西施, like, from a lover's eye, like, whoever they love is the most beautiful person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's about who you are with, you know? Surround yourself with people who actually love you, then you feel beautiful. People who think you are ugly, you are fat, you are stupid, maybe they are not your people, you know? In love, like, try to change you, you have to change your surroundings.
So I mean, also, you just go into porn. There's a category for everybody. Ugly.
Yeah, that's perfect. You know,
every porn, amputee, whatever.
That's
it's
nice.
All there for
I like
you.
That.
And people have their own thing, man.
Exactly.
There's somebody for everybody.
Exactly.
Okay, so you're really good in school. You're hustling. Then when do you decide you want to go? Why? Just because you want to get over there and see the world. You want to see what else is going on.
It was definitely for Hollywood. When I was little,
okay.
my mom always, like, she always wants to help the woman in the family to be entrepreneurs, so I have a cute cousin. She married a really poor guy that her father basically just like disowned her. Be like, you are so pretty. Why would you marry that poor guy? You know, you had to marry someone rich. But she's fell in love with him. He's like a chef. He's a nice guy. And she told my mother, well, I don't have support from my father anymore. And my mom's like, well, start a business. You know, if you love him, you won't marry him. Marrying a poor guy means you gotta be a peasant. That's the price to not marry. You know, if you marry for love, you have to be a peasant. If you don't, you can be a princess. So she said, I love movies. I want to open a movie rental business. My mother said, I can finance that for you. But I just got this restaurant in the city. And you can open that close to my restaurant. And when Zhao Ying got off school and I'm sending her to your video shop, she can help you setting things. And you can watch her when she does her homework, like a babysitting arrangement for free. And she said, sure. So after school, I sit there. I watch Casablanca. I watch Vertigo. I watch Citizen Kane, like all of those classic American movies, The Godfather. And I realized that there are so many beautiful women in different skin. And obviously, I just fantasizing that being an actress, that I never got allowed to be on any school play to play the lead girl, the pretty girl. I always play the weird person, or like I play a man. They say I play a handsome man because I look handsome. My father was handsome, you know, whatever. So I want to go to America and become a movie star. I want to be in movies. I wanted to be an actress.
Okay, so it was always movies over comedy first. That's
I never knew I'm a comedian.
Didn't even know.
I was funny, but I want to be an actress. I was classically trained as a theater actress before comedy happened to me.
Oh, you were?
Yes. So I did that before John Singleton saw me at an audition. He's like, you have to try stand-up. You have to do it. So that's when the first time I heard a stand-up because we don't have
it in China. Because of John Singleton.
Yeah. I auditioned
Rest
for
in
his
peace.
TV show. I know. He died after he saw my open mic first
Is
one.
That right?
I think
killed?
I killed. Yeah. I think so. I killed.
You killed John Singleton, girl.
Yep. Yes. He said, you know, Savannah Compton, but not me. Not the killed him.
Oh, okay. Okay, so now you get to the States, and where do you go first?
My mother basically said that I am not going to help with your school application. You know, you got to figure out how to get it. And also, she won't pay for my school. I have to raise money to convince her I can survive in America. She just think it's not safe. Also, we have a city of 3 million people, which is a small city in China, but it's half of LA. But no one has ever been to America in the history of my city. It's just something that she's afraid that there's. But I just said, Mom, I can take care of myself. And she's like, I can't help you. And then finally, I've been begging her for years. Finally, like the last year of high school, she said, if you can raise your first year tuition in 2 days, I'll pay for everything for your school.
And where are you going to go? What school?
And
Do you know?
I don't have a school
yet. You
don't
have one yet.
Because I was going to get to the best school in China. Instead, I'm going to go
right.
to a...
I just wasn't sure if you'd applied or...
Before I even applied, because she's not paying for my tuition. Mm-hmm. There's no point for me to apply anything.
So
I had to negotiate a deal with her.
2 days?
Yeah.
To raise how much?
It's not much, like 20 grand. But it's a lot for someone
who's
17.
In 2 days?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a hell of a lot for anybody.
I said, okay, I'll do it. So I took my bike and I went to my friend, my best friend in middle school. We ended up in the different high schools. I went to the better ones. And she's a very rich girl. Her family is in real estate. And she has two spoiled older brothers who don't do shit. And I said, listen, I am going to America. And my mother want me to raise 20 grand before I go. And here's the deal. I'm going to talk to your father. She goes, oh my God, what are you going to say? I said, well, don't worry. I just went to his office. It's like, listen, Uncle Xi, you know, I've been thinking. I think it would be very wise for you to make me and your daughter god sisters. We are best friends. And she's weak, you know. And her boyfriend hit her. And I helped her. I just was thinking about it moving forward. What happens 20 years later? Your sons are in their mid-30s. They're playing video games. You know, you have
grandkids.
You're
saying this as a 17-year-old to the dad.
Yeah. My daughter talk like her, like me too.
So they,
I said, they are lazy. They're going to lose all your money, which is not the point. The point is your sister, I mean, your daughter is a little slow, you know. The guy she has, she's probably going to marry, and he's poor, and he's asking for your money, you know. I mean, if I'm going to America, becoming an international talent, I'm going to be so great and strong. And I think that for me to be her sister can really help her moving forward when you don't know what's going to happen. He's like, that's very rude. You know, you have no manner. But let me call a feng shui master, see if your zodiac sign matches mine.
Man, you told this dad everything he knew, huh?
Yeah, that's what he worried about every day.
100%. Everything. He's like, man, fuck you for saying that, but let me get my checkbook.
Yep. And the feng shui master said that I'm good for him. I'm good for him. And then he basically like, I'm calling your mother. Where's her bank account number? So she got her bank account. They have the same bank. She go to all restaurant. He goes to all restaurant. He knows I'm not like some like a scam artist. Like mm-hmm. I'm just my mother own a business. She's a normal person. She's a good person. And see, he called her. He's like, listen, your daughter's here. I'm going to wire you 20 grand. US dollar, which is $140,000. In Chinese money, which is 140. Imagine 140K.
I mean, just hearing that numbers. Yeah.
So she said, no, you're not giving her any money because I'm just teasing her. She's not going to America. I just want her to give up the idea. He goes, no. The teasing backfired. She's at my house right now. And she's now, we just finished a ceremony. She and my daughter just exchanged their blood in water. They are sisters now.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Wait, what's the ceremony?
We have our blood.
Uh-huh.
Like we dip the blood in one cup of alcohol and mm-hmm. we switch and we drink each other's blood mixed together. Yes, because we always say, 血浓于水, like if your siblings are the most important friends because you share the same blood. Mm-hmm. But if you are not siblings, you want to become sisters and brothers, you know, you share each other the blood. So he's like, I'm not going to be the person who take it back because my daughter is going to probably get beat up by her future husband in the future. According to your daughter, she told me the whole thing. Because I know he hit her one time and I beat him up. But like,
you beat him up.
Yeah. And if she's going to marry him and if I die, I don't know what's going to happen. Her brothers are busy with video games and gambling. So I think I'm taking, my daughter is my princess. You know, I'm kind of buying your daughter's bullshit.
I was about to say, buy that. He's I need it. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll give me a piece of calm. I have all the money, 20 grand.
And was this a loan?
I said it's a loan. I said it's a loan. And he said that my mom is like, no, I'm turning the money back to you. And this never happened. She goes, no. I'm not going to lie to my goddaughter. She's getting that money. If she's going to go to America, she can buy a car.
You're already calling your goddaughter.
Yeah.
He just finished sipping his daughter's blood. Yeah. And he's like, all right, let me call your mom.
Oh, my God. So he's like, she can keep the money. If she's not going to America, I don't care. She's keeping the money because she's going to take care of she's my goddaughter now. My mom's like, no, you're not doing this to me. What happens if you give her the money and I won't give her the money? She goes, he goes, that's on you. I mean, it's not my fault. So I went home. My mom's like, we are refunding the money and you made a thing and you made me look stupid. And I said, Mom, what is the worst thing you worry about that's going to happen to me in America? Like, well, you're going to get killed. You're going to be poor. You're going to end up on the street, be homeless because you have no friends. What happens is the phone don't work anymore. I can't reach you. We have no relatives in America. I don't speak English. I worry about you. I said, Mom, if I can raise 20 grand in 2 days on my bike, which is technically in 1 day, I don't think I'll die in America. I think I'll live and live well. She was like, maybe you will. And I'm like, Mom, you came to the city by yourself. You know, you are a girl from the village. You are a farmer. And if you can do it, why can't I do it?
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
She's like, okay, you can try, but don't expect me to spend money and time to apply for school for you. You take the TOEFL exam, you know, the English thing, and you apply for the schools. You get that visa. And if you can get this done, I can probably believe that you can survive there. I said, I don't know how to do it. Well, you figure it out. You tell me you can do everything, right? Do it now. So I was able to figure it out and everything, and I applied for law schools, and the first offer I got is from University of Kentucky.
All right, the Wildcats.
Yes, UK, the Big Blue. So I have other offer coming in later on, but because of my mother was not really supportive, and I just want to make sure I got a visa before she changed her mind. She'd be like, no, you're not going. So I just wanted to, I took my visa for UK, and I got a visa, took my
you
offer.
You went from China
to Kentucky.
Kentucky. I mean, what a culture.
Very progressive.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And where do you go when you get there? Right to the university? Like, do you have dorm room, or are you looking for off campus?
So I got in a school like during the winter break. Mm-hmm. I turned 18 years old on the flight. It was my
Is
birthday.
That right? On the 18th or the 21st?
Technically,
the 18th you were flying.
Yeah, that's true. Probably. Whatever it is, it was, I got into Chicago O'Hare Airport, and I don't know how to transfer to Lexington because I don't speak English at all. And I have a note, but then people are busy in the airport. And so I can't find anyone help me. I saw this man and a woman, like a nice couple carrying a baby on their shoulder, a cute baby, smiling. And then I have a panda bear in my purse. I just started using the panda bear to seduce the baby to talk to me. The baby kept giggling. So the parents just had no choice. Like, hi, say hi. I'm like, I'm transferring to Lexington, Kentucky. Please help. It just, they were like, oh, that's where we're going. Turned out that guy is he's a preacher for church. And then they were the first friend I made. They actually gave me a ride back to my dorm. And it turns out that my luggage was delayed. I had no luggage. It's in the winter, January in Kentucky. In the dorm, I have no blanket. Again, there's no sheets. So I slept in my coat on a board.
Are you by yourself, or is there a roommate in there?
No one is there yet.
Yeah.
So it was pretty sad because I have nothing to wear, and I have just the clothes I have, but I have no blanket.
Did you cry?
And no, I was so happy I got to America. And I was hungry. I don't know where to get food. And I had probably $20 in my bank account and $5,000 cash in my pocket, obviously. And so I just find out where the supermarket is to buy some juice and fruit. And trying to find out how do I get my luggage delivered to the dorm. So that's the task. Then I realized you can work with a student visa on campus. So next day I went to the common market, whatever the food restaurant place in campus. I got 3 jobs. I got a job as someone who makes pizza so I can eat. I don't want to, I want to learn and study. So I got a job in the library. to watch the computers. Like, and then I got a job at the cafeteria to make sandwiches and make coffee. So I had breakfast. I don't have dinner, but lunch, you know.
How the fuck are you doing all this without, I mean, you don't speak English, you said.
I found a Chinese girl.
Okay.
She speaks Chinese.
And she helped you.
I said, but, you know, like, what can I do for you? Mm-hmm. She goes, nothing. You're useless right now. I said, I'll take you out for a really nice lunch in this only nice Chinese restaurant we have in Kentucky, in Lexington. I need to find 3 jobs. Here's why. I need to study. I need a computer. I need to learn English. That's why I need to work. That's the only way to learn English. People just like, you slow bitch, you know. Like, I want my just tuna, not turkey, you dumb hoe. You remember.
Hold on.
Right?
You're learning English in Kentucky too, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, like, yeah. I feel like it's the best way to learn the language is to work.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't understand, they curse at you. You'll mm-hmm. remember next time. And that's how, you know, I learned English is just through working. And I wasn't even complaining. I felt it was, I have more to celebrate right now, but those are some of the happiest times I had.
Yeah.
Before things got complicated and the insecurity and abuse of people coming into my life. But back then I was pretty happy. I was working very hard and learning English, getting to know the culture, because I wanted to learn English. I'm no use to go to Hollywood at 18, don't speak any English.
I mean, listen, I give you so much credit. I know damn well I could not go to China and immerse myself in the culture quickly or
so
efficiently
hard.
Or yeah. any of that. And then the people that come here and open a business, I think about that all the time. There's no yeah. way I'm going to China and opening a business.
Oh, God, yes.
You know what I mean? And then learning their laws and rules and
regulations. I know.
It's so, I mean... I
had no idea, you know, we can't hit kids in America. If I knew that, I would never want that green card. It's not worth it. It's sad, actually. like how can they reach their full potential? Like, you just have blow up your vagina for a mediocre baby. Anyways, it's confusing me.
Tell me, you mentioned you were happy before.
Yeah, I know.
Other things
knew.
Started happening.
I always knew there's something wrong with me. Is that I push myself to the limit, and I'm really happy about my. I like to push for things, but once I get it, I just don't really enjoy celebrating it. It's the next thing I don't have. I need to achieve. I didn't know I was bipolar until high school. I know my grandmother was bipolar. She definitely was. When she had a manic episode, she ran out naked to the village.
Just running.
She just ran. Yeah, she ran away. And they, you know, my grandpa quit his job to take care of her, and she was able to get out of the manic episode. But I never knew, because in China, there's no mental illness. There's no depression. You're lazy. You're ugly. That's what you're said. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason to explain it. And I also, like, my mom was like, no, you're not crazy. You didn't run out naked. So I said, something is wrong. Remember one time, I was always a happy girl, but then something just snapped. When I was around 15, one day I decided to not go to school. I can't get out of bed. I'm just sad. I don't know why I'm sad. I felt it's like just like I have no future. I don't think I'll be ever happy, and I'm useless, and I just feel like I'm useless. I don't make my mom proud, and I feel really bad. I can't even get out of bed, and I stopped eating for like weeks. I mean, when I stopped eating, because I'm a cow, I like to eat. My mom like, okay, we have a problem. So doctor's like, oh, she's fine. She probably have a crush on a boy and the boy don't talk to her. I mean, that's true, but there's more deeper things because I just stopped eating. Like, I'm a happy girl. Like, now, you know, I'm like, I lost 20 pounds and I'm very young to lose that much weight. So my mom was like, don't understand why. And I think one time I'm in bed, my dad came to my room and he just took me out of bed and dragged me out of the house to, it's like, you're lazy, you're going to school. I said, I'm not. And he hit me. So that also made me, my depression more, because they don't believe me. They don't believe that I am sick and I'm literally very skinny. But they don't know there's a thing called that depression or bipolar until I think I went diagnosed when I was 17 that there's this thing called bipolar. But my mom's like, oh, well, you know, you'll be fine. Yeah, we never got on medication. And I think what make my bipolar worse is like when I was in college, I was introduced alcohol for the different reasons. Because I always reason alcohol because of my father. Mm-hmm. I hate it. But in college, and I got friends with those pretty girls. They are models, and they helped reinvent myself. They helped me wearing contact lenses and do my hair and my makeup. And I realized that I can be a pretty girl. Somehow, you know, like it's kind of like, oh, I can be cute. I can be pretty. And then next, you know, the party, the drinking. But like bipolar can't really, if you have bipolar, drinking is just going to make everything worse.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's like it's just depressing by mm-hmm. itself, alcohol. But it can really make your mania more paranoid and make depression sink deeper. Mm. My depression don't go long. But it's really severe. It really, like, the way you feel worthless and useless is so strong that the pain, it costs you so much pain. It's like someone who has no eyes and you are just stabbing something. So you think you are stabbing their child. They would believe it. They would die from the heartbreak from it. Because I'm so delusional mm-hmm. about the reality. Like, I'm not a loser. I am not useless, but I really believe that. Anyways, alcohol can really trick your brain, your chemistry into the dark places. And I think that worsened my condition, that I became more obsessed with work. I think I became a workaholic to fill the hole of being useless and worthless.
When did you get to your lowest?
The lowest, I would say, is that when I married my husband, he's a very handsome guy, very wealthy from China.
And how old were you when you were married?
27. That's okay, when I met him and we fell in love. He looked like the perfect guy for me on the paper because he's very worldly and he's a Chinese man, which is important. I can have a tie with home. My mother would see me and because she's like, we'll never see you again. And he's rich, so she can finally understand that I can take care of my family, take care of her, and she didn't have to work anymore. But it turns out that he likes the idea of me. I mean, you know, if he married a girl who's a gold digger, who's a gold digger, who is a girl who wants to just never work again, and who's obedient, that girl would be very lucky. But I am not okay with not working. Like, I want to work. I mm-hmm. want to create. That is where the difference is. At the beginning, he just like, oh, I support your career. And he did. Financially, he invested in movies for me. And the directors and producers in China thinks my face is too big and too manly looking to be the lead lady for this Chinese show. Because the beauty standard is like the K-pop stars. You know, they have very light skin, very skinny. And so I start getting very insecure with my look. If I had like the self-love, I don't have bipolar, I'd be like, fuck all of you guys. Yeah. I'm great, but because I want to be good and I've been growing up with the insecurities and I, you know, you have the manic energy and I started to inject my face to reduce my jawline and my muscles to make me look like I don't eat and bleach my skin so I can be whiter.
You were bleaching your skin.
I was the on set, the producers were sending me IV treatment and bleaching agents for my skin bleaching because I'm too dark to look like the leading lady two guys are going to fight for. I remembered what the breaking point was when I was on set and I said, I don't remember my lines anymore. Like, I can barely stand because I've been eating spinaches for like a week. And they were like, oh, honey, don't worry. You look great. You don't have to remember the lines. We have voiceover. You just open your mouth. Then I realized that I'm not acting.
You're not even a person.
Yeah, I'm just this bleached asshole, skinny whore who betrayed my identity.
He's a puppet.
Yeah. Yeah, to lie to my young girls who's struggling with how they look. Instead of empowering them, I'm basically doubling down. You have no chance. You lose weight, bleach your face, bitch. Like, I'm not empowering anyone. All the things I want to do as a little girl to empower the girls who look different. I'm a liar. No, I said I can't do it. So that was kind of the breaking point of my marriage is that he thinks I'm too weak and lazy to commit to this project he paid for. They found someone else and it's a good project. They made money. He didn't lose money on it. But I said, I'm going back to America. I'm going to just do what John Singleton said, you know, to try comedy, try stand-up. Stand-up is for the ugly people, you know. If I don't have to bleach my skin or like lose 20 pounds to get on stage. So I'm going to do that. And he was so embarrassed, ashamed of me because which means he's like, what should you do? How do I buy you something to make it happen? I said, I have to go to open mics. I just have to do it. That's the only way.
That's
it. Because you can't do it. You're going to bring shame to me. You're going to go to the open mic in front of Love Factory with homeless people. My friends may drive by and see you. You know, it's going to be disgusting. I said, that's what I want with my life. That's what I am. I am disgusting. That's who I am. I started open mic, and every time I would spend hours driving around trying to get on stage, and people laugh at me, make, you know, racist jokes about me, and it's just very hard. And I would come home, and the biggest fight would be what he would pick up to make fun of me about doing this, which is like, you have no talent, you don't speak English, you failed in acting, you're never going to make it in comedy, it's harder. Then I just realized that after 1 week, I couldn't, the most I can get in is 2 open mics, because you either pay for a drink or you sit around for like a lottery. It didn't work. So I said, I need to buy my own club. I just had to buy my own club. So I was driving around Melrose. I saw this clothing store is for lease. I went in. I'm like, oh yeah, I see why you're for lease. You got ugly clothes. I'll take over the lease. That's how my club happened. 2 weeks later, I opened my club on my son's birthday. That was literally a few weeks after I started open mic. I bought that club so I can host open mics every hour, because I know how to wait. I know I suck. I just need to be on stage. Nobody want me on stage, so I put myself on stage. I started my club as me being the 24/7 host. Like, we open 10 a.m. to 11 p.m.
What?
Oh, yeah. It's still open. It's very busy.
At 10 a.m.?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Damon Wine was just there, just running new stuff. Like, we have great comedians swing by to pop in, just because they just can go to a little place without people bugging them. And it's still going strong today. It's 5 years old, more than five and a half years
for
old.
For you.
Because I know I suck. Like, I hate when, like, you know, you always are online. Always, you know, sometimes you have some comedian, you're like, I hate audience. They suck. They didn't laugh. I'm like, you suck. They laughed before and after you. So stop blaming them. I know I suck. I'm not delusional. I don't believe in that you are enough bullshit. You will be enough one day, but not right now. You're a working process. So I just bought that club, put in my hours. And during COVID, after I brought COVID here, everything shut down.
Yeah. You brought it over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My marriage was falling apart. He was literally calling me ugly and stupid, and I'll never
Are
make
you
it.
Serious?
Oh yeah, you're ugly and you got so fat, you know, blah blah. And I just spend more time in the club, even though during COVID I was just putting in those people and working on my jokes, and you know, nothing is happening, and I can't afford to keep the club anymore. I start selling my jewelry, my purse. I used to work in finance. I supported my acting career, but my husband's so rich and he wanted me to quit my job so I can move to China, which I did, which was a big mistake because I lost my financial income. I have some savings, but I was just trying to keep that club, and he won't give me money for it because it was stupid. So I keep selling my stuff so I can pay the rent. And it just got really ugly. And
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
It just, I think losing my confidence, like feeling ugly, feeling not great. But I have this thing in me that hasn't died yet, that I know as long as I don't give up, I'm going to make it. But the divorce took a while until I mean, it's not a big deal for us now, but back then it was a big deal for me when I passed the Laugh Factory. I mean, as an open micer, it was a big deal for me.
Yeah.
It was a huge deal for me. And I was going to
listen, it's a huge deal for just an American kid to come over here and anywhere and do that, to come from another country, to learn a new language. I could never perform in Chinese.
Oh, my God.
And learn timing and, you know, I never.
The culture.
All of it.
Geopolitical.
None
genders,
of it.
Yes.
None of it. I could never.
Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so bad that I remember that as I'm so excited, I can't do my hair and makeup. He's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to perform at the Laugh Factory the first time as a regular. We were already kind of separated back then, but he said, do you remember when you were a little girl, you used to stutter? I said, yes, I told you that, but I don't stutter anymore. He goes, actually, I read an article, you know, if you are going to do something that's high pressure, you may stutter again. I don't think you should do that show. You know, you're going to stutter. Then he starts stuttering, like mocking me.
Oh, shit.
And then I start stuttering, like, I should not do that. But I couldn't help. I slapped him on the face.
You did?
Yeah. And then he grabbed my neck and started choking me. And
whoa.
But he's you know, he's like not physical. I took a cutting board and I hit him on the head, so he dropped my hand. My mother was...
Wait, he was choking you? That's how you got him off?
He grabbed me to the sink to choke me. I don't know why he wanted me to choke me in the sink, because he's the OCD, the only vomit on the wooden floor. I don't know.
Trying to keep it clean.
Yeah, he's like, don't you try to, you know, throw up on my wooden floor. And then I just, there's a like a little cheese board. Mm-hmm. I just hit him on the head and he dropped me. And he realized I was too far. And then my mother was watching afar. She threw a vase on him.
She saw it.
Yeah, a big vase.
Yeah.
She's very aggressive. Mm-hmm. So she threw a vase on him and he left. And the next day I filed for divorce.
Good.
I mean, honest, like, he's not an abusive person. He never hit me. But I'm not saying that make it okay for him to choke me. No, it's not okay. But is it okay for me to slap him? No, it's not. But it's just like when people are frustrated, you know, this thing happens. But I'm not going to swing him for domestic violence, because it's not that situation. But it's a situation for me to leave. And that's why I really wanted to... I always, like, I hate when girls with abusive guys don't leave. And I actually finally understand. I thought I was a very strong girl, but it took me a while to leave. It just, the mental abuse is worse than, not worse, equally as bad as physical abuse, because it trips your brain.
Oh, fucks with you.
Yeah. Like,
big time.
Yeah. Breaking your wings. Mm-hmm. You can't fly and you don't think you can live without that person. And the threats, I mean, I never got threatened, but I was just like, well, the moment it turned violent, I'm done. Like, I walked out.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he's rich and powerful. He's going to take the children. So I wanted to make sure. And also, like, I can't get any money from him in China, because he knows everyone and I know no one.
So you have two kids together?
Mm-hmm.
And how does it work in China? Is there child support? Like, does
not
none
really.
Of that,
no.
That doesn't have to
basically
pay,
whoever,
or breadwinner doesn't have to pay.
The rich person decides what happens.
That's how it goes. Mm-hmm. Money is power.
Yeah. Obviously, they'll pay some child support, but they definitely don't. They will live with the children. Like, it will be hard for me to see the children. I would rather divorce in California. So I basically made a deal with him. He's not American, so... I said, all I want is the children. Like, I need the children. He's like, you, how do you raise them? You have no money. I said, I'll figure it out, but I want the children. Like, you taking them to China is a no, like, it's not going to work. I need them. I'll have my mom come over, stay here forever to keep the children, to help me. He goes, if you want the children, I won't give you any child support. Or you guys, some child support, you know, you see them half the time. They'll be living in China with me. You can come to see them. I said, no, I don't want child support. I don't want any money. I want divorce to be finalized right now, right here. I want the children. And that's what I got.
And he said okay to that.
He said okay, because he never wanted divorce. And he saw that I would end up penniless and come back and beg him. He's just like very spoiled by very, very traditional, obedient Asian women.
Mm-hmm.
Who would fight for him, would kill for him. Women would, like, who don't want to work ever. I mean, he can take care of a whole village if he wanted to spend his money on it. But he wanted to mentally abuse me to make sure, like, I am penniless. I come home and beg. If I go back and beg him, I'll never leave again. Because like if, you know, you think you can do it and you can, you come back and beg him. That's like for him to really like have me mentally control me. Be like, you can't do it. You tried to run away and now you're back. You know, you better, you know, show me that you are not going to try to be stupid again. So I said, no, I just want it to be finalized and I want the children. You can see them whenever you want.
Does he come see him?
Not really. He doesn't.
Is he back in China now?
He's very worldly. He's in Tokyo, in whatever. But he's retired. He retired early. He got lucky. He got a good deal, business, whatever it is. But he's not close to children. He sees them once a month and gradually, once 2 months, once 3 months. But I never say anything bad about him to the children because it's stupid. I'm a count, but I have a bigger wisdom. You know, the bigger wisdom.
Yeah.
Is that they are smart. They are going to grow up and find out who is a good one, who is a bad one, who was there for them, who wasn't there for them. It's their choice. Is that my father's an asshole or my father just troubled? Whatever they want to decide is what they are going to decide. And I don't want to make my son feel like he's half asshole. You know, like,
yeah, that's,
you know,
the thing, man. I'm with you on that. Your kids look at it like, well, I'm half that person. Mm-hmm. And if mom says that guy's a horrible person, I'm half horrible.
Yeah.
And it fucks with them for sure. So good for you. I'm the same way. Like parenting, I say it all the time. It's a long game. You know what I mean? You don't get that return unless you live long enough for them to get old enough for them to go, how the fuck did you do all that?
Yeah.
You were there, dad wasn't here, or you were in every game, or you were, and that's when you get the reward of the long term, like, yeah. And also, I mean, I know you said you were born in the 90s. I'm born in the 70s. So internet's not a thing back then. Now they can also look up and see exactly what's going on with that person too.
They can read our divorce decree. You know, the divorce, like, I still allow him to see the children. I'm like, my lawyer's like, you know, you can use the children. If he didn't give you money, he didn't get to see them. I'm like, no, I can work. The children are not going to be the weapon I use. No, I'm not going to do that. He can see them. Mm-hmm. He's nice to them. He loves them in his own way. That's his children. He loves them in his own selfish and narcissist way, but I'm not going to not let him see them. I would never use them as a weapon. The kids are fine. I mean, at the beginning, I really struggled. You know, we have to sell my house. And in the divorce, even the house we bought together, he wanted half it. So I put out a line of credit and paid him almost $1 million in cash, which I can't afford. And the house, oh my God, like, it's so high, the line of credit. Like, I'm paying $10,000 per month for interest, not mortgage. So I was literally dying. That was a hard time. I had to figure out, I have to pay the bills with comedy. Which means I have to be great at it. I have to be so good that people would overlook, I'm a woman with an accent. I'm a Chinese lady. I'm an immigrant. I've been only doing it for less than 5 years. I mean, around 5 years, like, so far. Like, I have to be so good. I have to make people money. I have to be funny. Which means you invest. You keep writing and you keep performing until you throw up. And that's what I did. To just be as, you know, every day, just spend every waking moment to become better at what I do. That's the only chance I got. And that's what I did, because I banked on myself. That's a gamble.
Fuck yeah.
Gambled on myself. If I was single, I could marry a rich guy. He would just push me around. It's fine.
You'd be miserable.
I'll just get the money and figure it out later. But I have kids. Mm-hmm. So for my children to live under people's roof and for someone to push me around, they will be very insecure. It just is not a solution. I can't. I'm a single mother. I have to rely on myself. And dating should be off the topic. I can't even think about dating a guy because I don't have money to pay for my children. I don't have energy to date. Because either I find a man who give me money, which won't be a solution, then I don't need one. Until I am, you know, mentally at a place, financially stable, a good place as a mother for me to actually, it took me a long time to find my man. I mean, it took a long time, but I find a way to make it all work.
I love you.
Thank you.
You're so impressive. I love your hustle. I love your story. I mean, I'm blown away by you. Good for you.
Thank you.
It's really impressive. Thank you for doing this.
Of course. It's my pleasure.
Can I ask you, before we wrap up, advice you'd give to your 16-year-old self?
Yeah.
I'm interested to hear what you would say, because that's pretty close to you splitting, huh?
Mm-hmm. I think I would tell her, you are crazy. You are chaotic. But that made you special. You know, you're not sick. You know, being your mind, you know, your mind being difficult is, you're not safe. It's insane. You just need to harvest the good. When aside time, and when you're sad, just take a break. And be kind to your friends and family. And you know, just always know that how much they love you, and count your blessings, and know how beautiful you are. You're always being very beautiful. You are a beautiful girl inside and out. You just need to know that. And I think that's all I want to say to myself. It's not even about a career. I want to become successful. That's all I wanted back then. I feel like those are not important anymore.
That's great. Thank you. Again,
thank you so much.
Please,
Ryan,
promote one more time.
Thank you, Ryan. I am so happy to be on the Honeydew podcast. And make sure you come to see me on the road. I'm coming all over America and internationally. Yes, the tickets are at jiaoyingcomedy.com or summerscomedy.com. Thank you.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
Do you do stand up in China?
I did a tour to Asia, Australia and Asia on April. We sold out 28 shows.
Wow.
And do you
stand up in Chinese,
yeah,
or
I did
English?
Taiwan and Hong Kong, that I had mixed languages, have Chinese Mandarin. Actually,
Is it harder to turn your comedy, like to, I guess, different words? I know, like, not every language has the same word. Mm-hmm. Is it harder?
It's a different humor. Yeah. But my Chinese is very sophisticated. That it's easier when it comes to how much I can command the language. Mm-hmm. But it's harder to understand the humor in Chinese culture, because I've been far away from it for a long time. But I'm working on my one-hour Mandarin Chinese special.
Oh, you are?
To release it internationally, so I can tour for the Mandarin Chinese speaking people.
That's
that
awesome.
I think is interesting. I'm
good
working on
you.
That. I'm doing a Mandarin mic in my club too, so I can work on it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No worries.
There. Thank you very much, Jiaoying.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you for having me.
As always, Ryan Sickler on all your social media. We'll talk to you all next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.